So what I want to talk about today is a little thing I call, we go where we look. And a few years back, well, it's been quite a few years, I was watching a talk show and there was a race car driver on the talk show. And they just got into a topic of how you keep the car, you know, on the road or on the racetrack. And the race car driver mentioned something really cool, which made perfect sense and also describes perfectly how the conscious and the subconscious mind, in a sense, work together and we don't even realize it. So what happens is this. The car is driving around the corner. The driver is looking where he wants to go, not looking at the wall or on the inside of the track. He's sort of keeping an eye on everything, but he has to maintain his main look of where he wants the car to go. And he described it this way. You're coming around the corner and the car starts to swerve for one reason or another, and you find yourself skidding towards the wall. The most natural reaction is instantly to look at the wall while trying to correct the car. But that's a mistake that's made apparently in drivers early on when they're learning how to drive the race cars. What they have to do, in fact, is look where they want the car to go, not where they're heading. Yes, out of the corner of your eye, of course, you would still see the wall and so forth from skidding yourself towards it, but your main focus has to be exactly where you want the car to go. And that's how you're going to get it there. And this works in a very simple manner, the way I see it. The subconscious also works the muscles in our arms and legs and various other things like chemistry that goes on in our body that allows us to move very quickly, like the adrenaline and so forth. All that comes together in those moments, in those few seconds when we have to turn the wheel a certain way to get the car back on track or at least prevent it from hitting the wall at full force. And so what we do is we focus where we want to go and look directly there. Everything comes together. All our physical movements and thoughts come together to help bring that car back in line to where we want it to go. If we look at the wall, then that's where we end up. We can't bring the car to somewhere where we're not looking. That's impossible. How can you drive it to destination A if you're staring at destination B? Same thing goes for everything we want to create. If we're staring at something that we dislike, we are not going to travel towards something that we do like. That's impossible. So if we continue to look at things we dislike and allow ourselves to get an emotional attachment to them, we are just simply moving away from what we do like and moving towards what we dislike. So, again, with the 3.6 million, we're focusing on something we want. We're focusing on the direction we want to go instead of focusing on lack of money. We're not going to achieve a financial abundance, financial wealth, financial freedom, whatever you want to call it, by looking at financial lack and thinking about it on a day-to-day basis. Let's say how you've overspent or spent too much or spending it in the wrong place and so forth. If we look at the end result of what we want, more money, more freedom, more financial abundance through money or whatever, because there's all kinds of abundance. But we want to directly look at what we want. Then we can go there. If we read about things about failure, the news media brings us failure on a day-to-day basis. it makes it a little more difficult to look at and drive towards success. Instead, if we spend more time looking at success, reading about success, thinking about success, we can move towards success. It's really that simple. Because our conscious mind, never mind the universe and everything else, just ourselves, our conscious mind can direct us, direct our muscles, our physical movements, our thoughts, lining them up so that it keeps us going that direction. Think about the thoughts we have on a day-to-day basis. They come and go. Where do they come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't come out of the ground. They're selected from billions of possibility of thoughts. Only a certain amount of thoughts come up in your conscious mind. These thoughts, the ones that come up to your conscious mind, or my conscious mind, your conscious mind, are selected by the subconscious, but based on the information that it receives from us, and based on what we're looking at. If we look at financial wealth, and we bring up, or we look at it in such a way that we bring up a positive feeling of financial wealth, that's the message we get into our subconscious. Our subconscious then, as this is accepted, begins to feed us thoughts in regarding to that. And as that increases and improves, the subconscious also brings up ideas. Then, in a sense, you also have the universe as a whole, our larger self, our higher self, whatever you want to call it, that bigger part of the whole, that we are part of, or even a bigger part of us, also sends us messages. But those messages go through the subconscious. So the subconscious receives those messages and then transfers them to the conscious mind, and they come up as inspirations and ideas, as inventions, and so forth. But first, our foremost vision has to be at that which what we want. If it's at the opposite, all those things can't happen. And yeah, so then we sit in our living rooms on our little couch in a little tiny apartment, locked away, feeling like there's more to life. And how could we possibly ever get there? How could $3.6 million ever come into our existence? It's impossible. We just can't imagine how that's possible. There's no way for it to reach us. We're so far from anything. Inventions, ideas, we're so far away from it. But as we change our thoughts every day, by envisioning having it already, thereby sending that message to the subconscious, thereby generating the signal of wealth and abundance to the universe, beginning to receive it back, and it starts with new thoughts and ideas. And guess what? You would have already had to start somewhere along the line, otherwise you probably wouldn't have found this recording. Because, in a sense, one way or another, you were directed to it. Just as you were directed to many other things that slowly bring you towards where you want to go, according to the message you sent to your subconscious and to the universe. Now, if we sit there and say, yeah, we love money and so forth, but at the same token feel that we never have enough, well, that doesn't really work either, because then what message are we actually sending to the universe? We're sending a message of not enough. And the thoughts and everything else, our actions, our movements will line up according to it. The race car driver also mentioned that winning is on the same principle as when you're going around the corner and you're skidding out of control. You have to maintain your focus on the end result, where you want the car to go. And also the race in itself. He says you have to focus on the end result. You always envision the winning. You don't always win, but you always envision the winning. And basically the way he explained it in a very simple terms, I got the idea that he envisioned it in as much that he had an emotional response to it. So you have two things. If you get into trouble, you envision where you want to go. And through all of it, you envision an end result. There's never really an end result, but we use those terms and we use that so we have a point to envision at. Once we get there, we'll pick another point to envision. Just like the race, he envisions himself winning it. And if he does win it, well, the next race he will envision it also. With that comes a past history. Because as we do this, some thoughts come and ideas come from our past where we have not done so well. The thing is, those are possible scenarios that our mind is giving us, and it's saying, well, it could be this way, it could be this way, this is a possibility of the past. But we can reinvent the past and say, remember the race we won there, remember the race we won there. But it's only when we do it in such a way that it has an emotional feeling that it becomes real enough, when the subconscious mind then accepts it as a real thing and says, wow, you've had 100 races and you've won 70 of them. And it will line up the thoughts accordingly. And down the road, well, that will happen, and so it becomes the truth anyway. There's a guy that theorized that what we saw as time moving forward was actually time moving backwards, unfolding. And so he suggested that if you create, you're sort of almost creating backwards, because you're envisioning something that's going to happen, but envisioning in such a way that to you it's already happened and then it happens. That signifies time almost moving backwards. We consider it forward, but in a sense, it's coming from what is to what is not. It didn't totally make sense. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. But in part, it does have, I guess, I don't have the word for it, a significance to it, because in a sense, to create something, we have to virtually have it in ourselves already, and then all the circumstances, scenarios are created for it. Or, slowly, the evidence of having had it, or having it, has to develop, and we begin to believe it, and as we begin to believe it, all the events, circumstances, and thoughts, and everything that needs to come in line with it, shows up. The point is, when we create, originally, I realized I was creating on the basis of how it would come. So if I wanted something, I would envision how it was coming. This is a bit of a problem. It doesn't work very well. It does work, but not that well. It takes even longer, and it limits how something can come. And when we're not in a state yet of the receiving of it, it makes it next to impossible to really envision a proper, good way for it to come, because we're just not in that stage. So if we're sitting in a situation in our lives where 3.6 million seem impossible to arrive, then trying to envision how is just downright silly, because it's out of our grasp. But what's not out of our grasp is the ability to envision having it. Don't change anything, just have it. Just there in the bank account. You see, and if we do things that way, they become simplified, and we don't restrict the universe in regard to how. The entire possibility of the universe is there then. Open. It doesn't matter how at all. So, our vision, in a sense, with the 3.6 million, I say ours because I I assume by now you're probably playing along, so it's not just me anymore. But my vision is having it. Not creating it, not anything else, just experiencing the having of it. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, even if I'm looking at something that costs $5 and I realize I only have two in my pocket, it doesn't matter. I still in my head have it. I have 3.6 million in the bank. I'm just not going to buy this right now, that's all. It really doesn't matter when I buy it. I have 3.6 million in the bank. I can buy 20 of them tomorrow if I want. I can pick up the phone later. It doesn't matter. I just leave it. Instead of saying I don't have enough, I just sort of walk away from it, saying, I can order 10 of these if I want it. I just don't have everything on me in my pocket right now. That's all. See? But it's there in the bank. So that allows you just to diffuse everything else, allows me to diffuse what I still desire and not have yet, and not to think about it as not, you know, as something I can't afford quite yet. And just stay with the having of the 3.6 million. Keep it really, really simple, because what I want inside is for those dials to open up more and those valves to open up more and just allow more things to drop into my life without hardship and effort and pain, of course. I want it to come more joyful, easy, and just basically show up. So that's it for today, I think.